I'd like to start off this morning with one of the greatest sages of the 20th century, the great Vince Lombardi. Lee Iacocca once asked this legendary football coach what it took to make a winning team. And this is how Lombardi answered him. He said, "There are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but still don't win games." Then you come to a third ingredient, said Lombardi. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love one another. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy and saying to himself, if I don't block this man, poor Paul is going to get his legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. The difference between mediocrity and greatness on the football field, according to Lombardi, is the feeling that these guys have for one another. Love for one another. Interesting, isn't it? What makes a winning team? Love. What makes a winning church? Love. You know, love is an invitation to a very dangerous but wonderful calling. Love is an invitation to something that is very basic and foundational, but something that takes PhD level hard work to attain and to act on. Love for one another is something we desperately want to be the recipient of, but something that we struggle with being the one who offers it. Love is hard work, isn't it? Love is not easy. Love is not an emotion alone. I mean, we know that by now, don't we? Love is not just warm, cuddly feelings we feel. Love as well is not just this kind of surface level interaction with each other. In fact, some of you already may have passed this kind of love on to each other as we walked in. Hello, brother, how you doing? Love you, man. Did anybody get a love you, man, today? You haven't shaken David Morales' hand this morning, I guess. But we know that love goes deeper than this, right? We know that love is not an emotion, that love is not just surface level interaction, that love is deep, difficult, and amazing to experience. And Christian love, love that is a response to the great love shown us in Jesus Christ, is exactly the type of love that this world needs to desperately see, is it not? Will we love one another well? This morning we want to look into God's Word and see two wonderful aspects of the love of God. In John 15, beginning in verse 12 this morning, we're going to see that you and I get the opportunity as followers of Jesus Christ to reflect on the gospel and the love of Jesus. How did Jesus love us? If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ, then today I pray that as we look into God's Word in John 15, that you'll see the great love that we believe we have experienced through faith in Jesus. This love that is good news, gospel truth. And then secondly this morning, I would love for you and I to ask ourselves the hard question of now what? If you and I have been loved so greatly by Jesus, as we'll see in this text, and I believe we have, then how will you and I love each other? How will we allow the example, the model of Jesus to affect our daily interactions with each other? The conversations that we have? The kind of emails we send? Can you believe it? How we use our time, our resources? What is the object and the focus of our times of prayer? All of these things are impacted if we truly know and love the way that God has loved us in Jesus. We're in the middle of a three-week series in John 15. We started last week. We're talking about three primary relationships in our life as a follower of Jesus and three core responsibilities. The first we talked about last week, our relationship with Jesus, that we are called to respond by abiding in him. Do you remember last week? That we are to believe in and lovingly obey Jesus, like a branch in the vine gets sustenance and growth and fruit that lasts after it has been pruned. Do you remember that? We push by that too quickly, maybe, you know? That we get to abide in Jesus. Secondly, this week we're talking about our relationship with one another. Look around, we are the one another's. And Jesus said to his early disciples, those early followers, tax collectors, zealots, fishermen, and professional con men in Judas. He looked around to all and said, do what? Love. Love one another. Next week, we'll talk about our relationship to the world, that in an amazing way in the text in John's gospel, it tells us that we are in the world, but not of the world, that we are from the world, but in an amazing way, we're sent to it. And we are called to testify, to witness about Jesus and the gospel and the life-saving truth that's found in him. But this morning, our attention is to each other. How can we love one another as Jesus loves us? John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Dear Father, we humble and submit ourselves before your word this morning. Your truth is found within. Lord, we pray that your work of the Spirit in our life might do its work right now through your word, that you might pierce us, Lord, to the division of our soul and spirit, Lord. God, judge our thoughts and intentions, and we pray through the power of Christ and the Spirit in our life, change us as a result of our time. We pray these things in your name. Amen. 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 So this morning, we want to start off looking at the love of Christ in the gospel and Christ's act on our behalf. And we want to see three characteristics of Christ's love from this text this morning. And then we're going to ask, now what? Three characteristics. I'm going to give them to you right now so you could write them down and do not zone out, okay? First, Christ's love is sacrificial. Second, Christ's love is friendly. Thirdly, Christ's love was an intentional choice. Sacrificial, friendly, and an intentional choice of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 12 and verse 17 bookend this section of John 15 with this command, and Jesus says it as much. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Look at verse 17. These things I suggest to you politely in a quiet voice. These things I command you so that you will love one another. It's interesting, isn't it? There are certain things in the scriptures that when we come to it, we think, okay, you know, I mean, maybe I could read it in its original context and not apply it to myself, you know? There's no getting around this. Jesus, to his earliest followers and to every follower since, gives this command. Not a mere suggestion, not a hint, hint, wink, maybe if you have extra time, but a command to love one another. And what I love about the scriptures and what I love about Christ is that he does not command something of us ever that he does not first model for us and supply a way to obey. Do you hear me this morning? That Jesus does not come at us with the heavy demands of a landlord demanding things that you owe him, but that his commands come out of a response to what he has already provided for us and enables for us to do. And in this text this morning, we see what three of those things are that Jesus has done for you and for me. First, that Jesus loved in a sacrificial way. Look at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Sacrifice. Jesus, his love is not characterized by mere emotion and positive talk and thinking. That Jesus' love is foundationally characterized by sacrifice. That Jesus gave all his very self as a demonstration of how much he loves us. That Jesus gave so that we might receive love like this world does not commonly know. Jesus lays down his life for us, his friends. Isn't this amazing? We see in John, in 1 John, I want you to turn there, 1 John chapter 4, where we see this motivation for our love being founded within the love of Jesus himself. In 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, and I have to confess to you, every time I read this scripture, this section of scripture, I remember as a child in a Sunday school, we used to sing this song to a beat that had kind of a Latina, like Latino flair to it. And we used to walk down the aisles and dance to this. So every time I read this scripture, I imagine 8-year-old Michael trying to do the salsa down the aisle of the small Baptist church. And it was a weird thing. But I remember as a young child meditating on this text in that context of silly dancing down the aisle and thinking, God really loves me like this? Look what it says in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. We are able to love because we have been what? We've been born again of God and we know him. Christian love is based on belief and knowledge. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest or explained or demonstrated among us, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God's love in Jesus was a sacrificial love, a propitiation. It appeased the wrath of God. And because of this love that he has demonstrated for you and for me, we should be stirred within our very souls to love like him. To love like him. Love that sacrifices. You know, you and I are often drawn and overcome with great emotion when we see modeled in our world sacrificial love. When you see love that is not offered just because of what it can receive, love that is not offered with ulterior motives. Have you ever experienced love like this from somebody? I thought you loved me, but I know you wanted something from me. Are you with me? But when you and I see demonstrated in the world love that's sacrificial, gets our attention. It's not common. You know, this week we commemorated and remembered 18 years after 9/11. Where were you that morning, right? And a few years ago, I remember going down to the new museum down there at the Ground Zero site, the Memorial Museum. And they've done an amazing job. It is probably, and I've been to museums all over, one of the top museums I've ever been to, and I probably will never go back again. Just to walk in and experience afresh what happened that day was difficult. And it's one thing to look at artifacts and crashed pieces of buildings that are on display. And it's another thing to see faces of people who lost their lives and of those who went in to help, who gave the ultimate sacrifice of their own life as well. And there's a room, and if you've ever been there at the memorial, you know what this room is. It's a room perhaps maybe half the size or a little, maybe less than that, maybe a third of this room. And all along the walls are just screens filled with the faces of people that lost their life that day, rotating through. And you could go up to these touch screens, and you could press on a touch screen, and a story will pop up of that individual and what they were doing. And the stories of the different medical relief and fire agents and policemen and others that went in to help save. You'll read those stories, and I'm telling you, I was in there for probably less than 5 minutes, and I lost it like I can't remember losing it any other time. And you could ask my wife, I told her, I have to leave. And I just cried and cried and cried and walked out into the common area, and I'm doing one of these, I'm not crying, don't look at me things, you know. I'm just so overcome by those who intentionally chose to sacrifice. And for you and I, if we know Jesus by faith, He has intentionally chose to sacrifice for you and for me in a way that secures more than just our physical safety, in a way that secures our eternal salvation. Are you with me? That Jesus showed no greater love. No greater love has been seen than what Jesus showed in offering His life for us, His friends. Do you know Jesus like this? Have you trusted in this atoning sacrifice for you? It's going to demand a response, but hold that for a second. Secondly, in the text, we see another characteristic of the love of Christ on our behalf. In verse 14 and following, He says that you are my friends. That Jesus' love is with friends. He says, if I do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from thy Father, I have made known to you. What is Jesus saying? He's saying in a very real and tangible way, I have done this for you because you're my friend. Then in an amazing way, the eternal God, who always was and is and will ever be, the eternal and infinite One who exists in realms that we cannot even begin to fathom and understand in this life, that this immortal, invisible, God only wise, in Jesus, by offering His life, welcomes us as friends. Isn't this amazing? This is amazing truth in God's Word. That God loves us, that we're His friends. And as it says in the text, and as we discussed last week, that if we are truly abiding in Him, that we believe in and lovingly obey Him, that these come together. And that as we do this by faith in our life because of the work of Christ on our behalf, and as we experience what it means to walk and to abide and to experience His presence, we know that we are His friends. Jesus says that, you know, I haven't hidden anything from you. You know, a master is not under any obligation to tell his servants all that's on his mind. The master is under no obligation to be kind to his servants like this. But Jesus sees you and I as his friend and has explained all the truth about salvation and love and what it means to be in relationship with him and the Father. Isn't this amazing? That God, as a good friend to us, loves us like this. There are a couple places in the Old Testament where God references individuals as his friend. The first I want you to see with me real quickly, Exodus chapter 32, one of the most amazing sections in the Exodus narrative. I love this section of scripture. It's in Exodus chapter 33, and we see Moses going before the tent of meeting to intercede on behalf of the people in the very presence of God. And look how Moses is described. Verse 7 of Exodus 33. It says, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which is outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he would go into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, eat at his tent door. And thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." That what Moses experienced, you and I, through Jesus, experience at a level that Moses never even could understand. That we, through the presence of God indwelling us by faith, are friends of God. In James chapter 2, verse 23, Abraham is as well referenced as someone who was a friend of God, and that by his life-saving faith in Jesus, he was saved and a friend as well. And you and I have for us, if we know Jesus, this same invitation. Trust in him. Find forgiveness by faith, and you are his friend. His friend. Thirdly, in this text, before we answer the now what, Jesus' love was an intentional choice. An intentional choice. It was sacrificial. It is friendly. But it was a choice. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." You know, we like to think that God accepts us because, well, I am a pretty good person, right? I mean, you know, I like to have this joke with people when they ask me, you know, "What baseball team do you go for?" And I tell them my answer right away. I'm a good person. I like the Yankees. Does this make sense? In my polluted mind, and this is bad theology, my baseball theology. This is obvious. But we know the gospel. The truth of the scriptures is that we are not good people, therefore God chooses us. John is reminding us that Jesus was intentional in communicating to his earliest followers his desire to choose them. That we did not and could not and would not have chosen him. He's no doubt echoing back in the mind of the disciples the first time when he called them to come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Jesus is saying, remember my choice of you. If I know Christ today, if you do, it was an intentional choice of God to bring us to himself. Loved not because we are great and good. Loved not expecting, he didn't love us because he expected us in return to answer everything that he needed. He loved us and he chose us to be himself. This is the wonderful truth of the gospel, that though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that God loved us still. Love, this primary responsibility in our relationship with each other, is sacrificial, it's friendly, and it takes intentional action on behalf of one towards another. This is the way the gospel and Jesus has modeled for us what it means to truly love. And remember those two verses that bookend this? Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have. Okay, so here we go. Are you ready? The now what? Jesus, you have loved me sacrificially. Jesus, you have loved me as a friend. Jesus, you have loved me because you have chosen me despite myself. So, how are we going to love one another? How are we going to model with each other as followers of Christ this love? So I want you to do some things with me this morning. Are you ready? Here we go. I want you to start thinking in your mind of some one another's, okay? Those that know Jesus. Those perhaps in your family. Perhaps those, and I always remind myself that my closest one another is the one that sleeps next to me in bed each night, you know? That God calls me to love my wife as a one another. She's included in that, right? And the people down the hall, perhaps your child, your friend, your family, your grandparents perhaps that live with you. Think as well as a people in your mind in the church, perhaps a people in a small group that you're a part of, or a class, or one of the deacons that you really like. Who doesn't love a deacon? This means servant. They're servants. We have amazing deacons. Or perhaps one of the Sunday school teachers, or whatever it is. Think of all the one another's, the people in your life that know Jesus. Okay, you with me? You got names going through your head? All right, pick one. And if you really want extra credit today, okay, pick one that's a little difficult to love. Uh-oh. I went from preaching to meddling. It only took me 20-something minutes. You know you're called to love that person? Okay, so you got that one person in mind? Okay, say in your mind this person's name, okay? And if it's Mike Luciano, thank you, thank you. Hopefully I'm not the one that's difficult to love for you, but I'm sure there are some. I want you to think through now these three questions. I want you to write these down and think of these this week. In response to Jesus' sacrificial love, number one, how can I sacrifice for them? You thinking through it? How can I sacrificially love him or her? But write the name of the person. How can I give of my personal comfort to meet their need? And I want you to think of one way this week that you could do that. And as I've been meditating and praying over this, I thought, you know, what's one way that we could sacrifice in response to Jesus' love and sacrifice for me? How can I sacrifice of myself for someone else? And I started thinking, Lord, what are those things that I value the most that I do not like to give up control of? And this week I started to think, one of these idols in my life is time. I mean, I love a calendar. Are you with me? You should see the way my phone lights up all day with reminders of where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. Don't ask, although if you'd like to, you could come after and ask me. I could lay out for you the next 6 months where I think I will be most every day. That's not always good, okay? I have a watch collection at home because I love time. And my watches, I make sure that they are set according to Greenwich time. Are you with me? No one wants to be off by even a second. And listen, in New York City, time is, yeah, right? I mean, look, you know, I want to give up my time. It's going to cost me something. So how, in this week, for that person, that is difficult, can I sacrifice some time to show them how much I love them? How can I give of myself for them? All right, you with me? That's only one question. Here's the second one. Whew, this has us busy till at least Wednesday, I think. Second one. In response to the friendly friendship offered to us in Jesus, his love that he has modeled, how can I be a friend towards this person? How can I be a friend towards this person this week? You know, being a friend towards someone is not always telling them the easy things that they want to hear, although sometimes as a friend, you just need someone to put their arm around you and encourage you. Are you with me? But sometimes to love someone as a friend means to intentionally communicate with them hard and difficult things that they need to hear. Are you with me? Some way this week that you might show the love of God to one another is by sharing them the truth that only a friend could share. Talks about the wounds of a friend in the scriptures being welcome, aren't they? I was reminded this week reading of John Wesley and those that would gather together in communities out of the movement that he's associated with, that he would talk about what it means to be with one another and to love each other as friends like this. And he used to have a wonderful saying. He used to say that we are watching over one another in love. You like that? I love that. That in the family of God, when we're with each other, that we are watching over one another in love. And if anybody wanted to be a part of these groups that would be meeting with him, that he would intentionally be investing in, he would ask them questions. You know, and obviously, these are probing questions for us. Questions like, does any sin have dominion over you in your life? That's a good question from a good friend, isn't it? Do you desire to be shown of your faults? Whew. A good friend will show them to us. Do you desire to be honest, to speak everything in your heart without reserve? Wow. These are the kind of questions that we need more friends in our life to ask of us. You know, I'll tell you how I start my Monday morning each week. I told you I love calendars, right? Every Monday morning, 8:15, I get a phone call from my friend, Bill Bomback. We've been friends for 20 years. And every Monday morning at 8:15, he asks me, how am I doing in my soul? Am I loving God? Am I loving my wife? Am I loving my kids? Am I serving the church? Do I share the gospel? I would like to tell you every Monday morning is smooth going, but sometimes it's not, and it's really good. Are you with me? How can you love like a friend this week that truly cares for and desires to see someone know and follow Jesus more faithfully in their life? Okay, third question. Are you with me? We've gotten through Thursday at least. Lastly, in response to Jesus intentionally, sacrificially choosing you and I, how can I choose to love someone this week? How can I choose to love that person, this perhaps difficult person? Love is a choice. Despite what they might offer you, despite how they may be able to respond and reciprocate, we are called to love. You know, it's easy for me to love those that when I love them, they respond back. Jesus calls us to love and not always expect something back. How can you choose to love someone, not because of what they offer, but because of how much you care? You know, I remember learning about this theme in the scriptures my first year in Bible college, about God's love for us being a model for us, and that we are to love, and that love is a choice, that God has chosen us, Jesus has chosen us, and in response to this, we must choose to love, especially those that are hard, you know? And I started to think about, you know, my dating life at the time. And I met my soon-to-be wife, Mandy, actually 19 years ago this fall. And I remember sitting across from her just a few months into our dating relationship, and she was saying things to me like, "I really love you." And I would say, "I can see why, you know." And she learned early on I like a joke. But she said, "No, I love you." And I would say, "Thank you." Seriously. So then a few months went by, you know, and the relationship is going, I thought, well, you know. And she said, "You know, you never say love back." And I said, "Well, we're learning in God's word that love is a choice. And when I choose to love you, I won't stop saying it," you know. It was cheesy. It was a little elitist. But the theme is true, isn't it? That if you're going to love somebody, you choose to do it no matter how they respond. Even if the way that you show love to them is not interpreted by them as love. Has that ever happened to you? Even when you deny something from someone because you know it feeds something in their heart and soul that is wrong, you're showing love. And God calls you and I in the midst of our community together to love each other like this, to choose to care for and love each other, especially when it is hard. Because when we do so, we model the love of Jesus towards us. We model it. We model it. You know, Wesley on his deathbed, he was 88 years old and he was surrounded by friends. And he said to them, "Farewell. The best of all is God is with us." I love that. The best of all is God is with us. And if you know Jesus like this and have experienced his sacrificial, friendly, intentionally choosing love, then he is with you. And Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Now, let's love one another in response. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel, Lord. We thank you for the truth of Jesus and the hope that we find in him. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for the forgiveness we find. We thank you, Lord, that we are your friends by faith. And we thank you, God, that even though we had never would have chosen you, that you choose us. So God, we pray for those here this morning that know this truth of the gospel in our life. God, help us now to respond and love one another as you have loved us. And God, for those here this morning that have never experienced this love, we pray that they might confess their sin. They might trust in your finished work on their behalf, and that they might find life eternal. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Amen.